You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some people put off making any decision about religion in their life. Yet the Bible states now is the acceptable time and now is the day of salvation.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by thy almighty power, move in the hearts of all men. Wake up those now indifferent to thy loving call, and cause the urgency of thy salvation to burn brightly before sin-dimmed eyes. Thou hast clearly said, O Lord, now is the acceptable time, and now is a day of salvation. May all listening to thy message today not delay their repentance, and may all who hear thy word be enabled to turn to thee and to receive thy forgiveness and the joy of thy salvation. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. After four failed marriages, Oscar-winning actress Betty Davis stated that her biggest regret in life is that she never found the right man to live with. Some people regret their marriage choices, and others regret not getting enough education. But the most shocking and terrifying regret in all of history is recorded in the Bible in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, "There once was a rich man who dressed very expensively every day. He lived a life of luxury. There was also a poor man called Lazarus. His body was covered with sores. And every day, the poor man's friends would drop him off in front of the rich man's house. The poor man begged to be fed with the scraps from the rich man's table. But the only compassion the poor man received in front of the rich man's house was from the dogs. They came to lick the poor man's sores." Then Jesus pointed out, it happened that the poor man died and was carried by the angels into heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. And from his tormented position in hell, the rich man looked up and saw poor Lazarus in the arms of Abraham. The rich man then cried out and said, "Father Abraham, please pity me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." Abraham replied, however, "Remember, it was you who enjoyed the good things in life, but Lazarus suffered the bad, and now Lazarus is being comforted while you are being tormented. Besides this," Abraham said, "a great chasm now exists between you and us, so that those who want to go to you from this side cannot do so, and the people cannot come to us from your side." The terrifying regret experienced by the rich man, who realized too late that his eternal doom was sealed in hell, can never be fully comprehended. However, let this rich man be a warning for everyone today who believes that there will be a second chance after this life is finished. The rich man did not go to hell just because he was rich, but his failure to express his sincere faith in God by using his God-given blessings to help those in need, condemned the rich man forever to the fires of everlasting torment. There are many today who are headed straight for the same hellish destiny of the rich man. They claim to be religious, but their lack of sincere and saving faith is exposed as they refuse to attend a house of worship whenever possible. Going to church regularly and worshiping God together with other believers is not an optional luxury. The Bible is unmistakably clear when it says in the book of Hebrews, and I quote, "Never forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is," end of quote. Speaking through his prophet Isaiah, God said, "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth." Others of the present generation claim loudly and even self-righteously that they are born again. But their wayward and undisciplined lives expose a hypocritical conformation to, and even an inner driving lust for, the things of this world. Oh, may God the Holy Spirit convict, empower, and enable each of us to be moved by the inspired words of St. Paul, who said, "Now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation." Sins of spiritual slothfulness and indifference currently control the eternal destiny of thousands. They feel no commitment whatsoever to anything except their own fulfillment and their own selfish egos. They feel no urgency whatsoever to take up the cross, to deny themselves and their self-centeredness, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Others fail to follow the Savior because they do not want to give up their worldly ways. And still others, confused by numerous vain philosophies and the abundance of demonic cults, are led to confess, as one listener did who recently wrote to us and said, "I am in search of God as a reality. If you have materials that would be helpful in showing me how to believe and rely on God in whatever circumstances, I would be most grateful." No, there is no need to grope in demonic darkness searching for God as a reality. God is real, He does exist, and He is not hiding. He has revealed Himself to all men through His Son, Jesus Christ. And now it is possible for you to know your gracious Heavenly Father in a very confident way. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus Christ is God in human form. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of God. Our gracious Heavenly Father publicly endorsed His Son as the Savior. After being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus came up out of the water of the River of Jordan, and then Jesus saw the heavens opening. The Spirit, like a dove, descended upon Him. A voice came out of the heavens saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the book of Hebrews we read, after God spoke long ago to our fathers and the prophets, in these last days God has spoken to us in His Son. People search for God in science, they seek Him in philosophies, they grope for Him through mysticism, and still others try to find God by following cultic leaders. In these last days, the Bible points out, God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible then poses one great question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It will be impossible for anyone who denies or even just remains indifferent to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ to escape the judgment of hell on the last day. Like the disenchanted movie actress, we may regret being unable to find the right marriage mate. This regret is nothing, absolutely nothing, when compared to those who fail to respond to the call of the gracious Savior and those who, by their rejection or indifference of the promised Messiah, will consign themselves eternally to the depths of Hades, where the Bible points out the worms never die and the fire is not quenched. It is because of this clear biblical teaching of the threat of hell that St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He told them never to consider Jesus Christ in a casual way. He admonished them not to receive the grace of God in vain. you can be absolutely certain that if St. Paul were alive today, he would, with a zeal little known in our generation, lovingly admonish and graciously warn the wayward and the unrepentant people of our generation. He would exhort, "Stop living in sin. Turn from your ungodly habits that you know in your conscience are wrong. Turn to God and confess that your evil thoughts originate within your heart. Admit that you are totally helpless and that you need God to enable you to change your situation. No, don't delay your joy. Lay your complete self, your thoughts, and your actions before your forgiving and gracious and loving Heavenly Father. God never turns away anyone who comes to Him, and therefore keep your eyes fixed on the Calvary cross. It was on that accursed tree that Jesus Christ died to save us, you and me, from the punishment of our sins. For the Bible says, it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. In football and basketball, soccer and other athletic games, some players are often used as a substitute for others. And in government, special aides or assistants are often sent to meetings and funerals as a substitute for world leaders. But for Jesus Christ, it was entirely different. Jesus Christ was not involved in setting up a world government, and He was not playing games. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was giving His life as a substitute. He was pouring out His innocent, sin-cleansing blood to rescue all sinners from the suffering of hell. Even before Jesus was born, an angel appeared to Joseph, Mary's husband, and said that she would bear a son. The angel then announced, "You shall call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins." Later, when Jesus was conducting His public ministry in Palestine, Jesus clearly announced His awareness of His salvation mission. Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." After realizing these clear and comforting teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the courageous reformer Martin Luther was led by the Spirit of God to humbly confess, "I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And even as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns through all eternity." And then, with a courage derived from the truth of the Holy Scriptures, the Reformer stated, "This is most certainly true." Some people see Jesus only as a fearful judge who will preside on the last day. And according to the Bible, on the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ will be present to pass judgment on all those who have rejected or remained indifferent to Him in this life. But if you can hear my voice, if you are living out your last hours in a hospital or in a rest home, or if you are now on death row in a prison, or if you are in the comfort of your own home, God is still offering you the opportunity to return to Him. Don't delay another day. Now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation, your salvation. In the past, some people have delayed, and it has cost them eternally. They ended up, like the rich man, eternally separated from God. And so don't put your hopes or your future in things that rust or decay, and don't try to build your happiness on things like fame. Fame may be with you today, but it will be gone tomorrow. And don't put all your energies into getting rich. For as the newspaper stories so frequently point out, even the unrepentant rich frequently die a miserable, lonely, and tragic death. Instead, place your complete faith and your total trust in the sin-cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives your failures. He heals your sin sickness. He grants power to you to overcome problems. He uplifts the despairing. He affords consolation to the lonely. And Jesus Christ provides absolute certainty of an everlasting, bliss-filled life in heaven to all those who repent and turn from their sins and follow Him. Amen.